football on off the ball.
But he's astounding us all with what he's doing already. But I do think we are surely at the end. So let's bring every little last drop out of it.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Wednesday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, England are held to a drab nil-all draw by Ghana in Boston. Colombia booked their place in the last 32 with a 1-0 win over DR Congo. And can Scotland overcome Brazil in Miami to keep their World Cup dreams alive? But first, England boss Thomas Tuchel insists that his side weren't overconfident ahead of facing Ghana at the World Cup last night. His side were left frustrated by a nil-all draw in Boston, which means they still haven't officially qualified for the last 32. Tuchel says his team didn't take winning the game for granted.
We don't need a wake-up call. Everyone is alert and everyone is fully committed. There can be no doubt, I can assure that to everyone. We don't need a wake-up call. There was no overconfidence in our game.
Nico O'Reilly and Harry Kane missed chances late on, but Ghana could feel hard done by after they were denied a second-half penalty for a challenge on Prince Adu by Ezri Konsa. Meanwhile, midfielder Jude Bellingham says they'll take positives from the game, even though they didn't get the win.
It's amazing to be able to play so early a strong opponent from Africa who pose completely different threats, and you saw that today. It was tough to break them down. But part of the beautiful thing of the World Cup is that you get to play against styles of play that you don't normally get to play against, and it will stand us in good stead going into the rest of the tournament for sure.
The result leaves England with 4 points. They play Panama in their final group game. Panama are yet to pick up a point. Arsenal's Eberé Eze says Ghana were tough opponents.
They were very solid, very compact. They made it difficult for us at times. We controlled a lot of the game and unfortunately not to score in some areas. So we'll still be positive, still trusting what we've been doing and confident for the next game.
The other game in that group took place in Toronto, where Panama were eliminated by Croatia, who won the game 1-0 thanks to a second-half goal from Ante Budimir. Cristiano Ronaldo screamed, "I'm back," after scoring for Portugal and making history at the World Cup. He became the first man to score at 6 different World Cups. He got 2 goals in their 5-0 win over Uzbekistan in Group K. Ronaldo's manager Roberto Martinez and the squad were heavily criticised after their 1-1 draw with DR Congo in their opening game. Martinez says he was impressed with the reaction from his 41-year-old captain and his teammates.
I think it would have been a tough moment in a dressing room that he's got no experience, I can tell you. It could break a team. What I saw is the opposite. I saw a group with incredible responsibility, very experienced, and they took control of it.
Goals from Nuno Mendes, Rafa Leão and an own goal made it a comfortable evening for Portugal, who'll face Colombia in Miami in their last game. Colombia have already guaranteed qualification thanks to their 1-0 win over DR Congo in Guadalajara. The only goal of the game was scored by Crystal Palace defender Daniel Munoz. So Colombia have 6 points and they are 2 points ahead of Portugal ahead of that final group game. Scotland boss Steve Clarke says he's preparing for weather stoppages in tonight's key game with Brazil. Thunderstorms are expected in Miami and lightning could be a factor as well, as the Scots chase a place in the knockout stage for the first time. Clarke says he's been looking at the forecast with interest.
It's possible that there'll be some rain disruptions. We have a strategy in mind to how to deal with it. Obviously, you don't know how long the delay is going to be. You've got to wait 30 minutes off the last lightning strike, so that can just roll on and roll on. We have an idea of what we'll do if it happens to us.
Scotland captain Andy Robertson says people shouldn't assume it'll be one-way traffic against Brazil. Robertson says he respects the 5-time world champions, but feels they have the talent to cause problems as well.
The players they've got on the wings, the players they've got through the middle are full of quality. They can hurt you at any moment, and I think we always have to be wary of that as a whole team. But hopefully we've got players up the other end of the pitch that can do the same, and you know, hopefully we can ask them questions as well.
A draw will be enough for the Scots to progress. A narrow loss could even be enough to take one of the 8 best third place team spots. Kickoff is 11 o'clock, and at the same time, Morocco can book their place in the next round. They take on Haiti in Atlanta, with Haiti already eliminated. In Group A, Mexico are already guaranteed top spot. The co-hosts take on Czech Republic, who have to win to give them a shot at qualifying second or as one of the best third place teams. South Korea are in pole position to qualify second, given they've already got 3 points. They take on South Africa, who still have a shout of getting through in Monterrey. Those games are underway at 2 a.m. in the early hours of Thursday morning. Today's action starts at 8 in Group B. Co-host Canada take on Switzerland in Vancouver. A point will guarantee Jesse Marsh's side finish top of the group. At the same time, in Seattle, Bosnia-Herzegovina take on Qatar. Both sides have 1 point each, so a win for either will send them into the next round. And World Cup Daily on Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. FIFA President Gianni Infantino's denied that World Cup hydration breaks are just a ploy to make money. Fans have booed the controversial stoppages, which have taken place even in closed roof stadiums with aircon. Infantino admits broadcasters may be cashing in, but not FIFA.
I hear as well it's about money or things like that. It is not. We don't make $1 more revenues in FIFA with these hydration breaks because all our contracts were signed well ahead of the decision to have these breaks.
Argentine writer Marcel Moura y Araujo joined Owen Shahan on the football show last night to talk about all things Argentina and Lionel Messi. And she said that Messi, who is 39 today, continues to spire not just all over Argentina, but also the world.
I do think Messi has been extraordinary. I mean, it's strange to say surprisingly extraordinary because we shouldn't be surprised, right? But there is something that's sort of so unprecedented. His age, I suppose, but just his demeanor. You know, there's these beautiful sort of stills of him standing, walking. It's almost like his physical, his older body has become cleverer or something. It's just really unbelievable. And it's super enjoyable, from fan celebrations, you know, in Bangladesh to school kids in Buenos Aires. There's all these different images of, not Buenos Aires, all over Argentina, children in different schools watching on big screens. I think even Messi made some comment about how moving he found that. It kind of reminded me of my dad, who used to tell me that they listened to radio. The headmaster would put a radio in the middle of the yard and then all the kids were allowed out to listen to the match on the radio. It just feels like living on this tradition of love of the game and so on. And I think a lot of what Scaloni and Aymar and Samuel have managed to do with the Argentina team, whereas in Qatar it felt a little bit like just through every round. Now it feels like they have an expert, well-oiled system. They know what they're doing. It's amazing to watch. It feels like they're all understanding each other and having a function, and then Messi just sort of finishes it off. I do think we are seeing more goals generally in this World Cup and the last one. I think that there's by design, there's a desire that there be more goals. And so it's sort of unreal that he scored 5 in 2 games, which often would be enough to be, you know, golden boot in a World Cup. But at the same time, we're seeing much more sort of goal fests and big margins of goals in many games. And I think it's rather lovely that Haaland and Mbappe, you know, like everybody we have an expectation that they will be great has so far been great. Mm-hmm. Cristiano Ronaldo today, it's more fun than I thought.
That's available to listen back to now in full in your OTB Football podcast feed. On the news round last night, Arthur O'Dea joined Owen, and with the likes of Messi, Erling Haaland, Kylian Mbappe and Cristiano Ronaldo dominating, the lads debated if this is a World Cup of the individual.
You seem to be framing this as a real positive earlier on, this sort of the superstar World Cup that we're having. Isn't, if we were to frame it the other way, we're just in danger of this being an overly hubristic World Cup where, like, everybody talks about football watching these days being focused around individuals and superstars as opposed to teams. Like, this just kicks, you know, football society further down that path, doesn't it? Where, like, you're not really paying attention to Argentina, you're paying attention to what Messi's doing. You're not really paying attention to Norway, you're just paying attention to Erling Haaland. This is Team Ronaldo, for example, that we're watching against Uzbekistan now.
Has it not ever been thus? Like, it's rare you have most teams don't have, if you have, like, say, that sort of transcendent level star that the kind of we're talking about there, most teams don't have more than one of them. And I suppose just the nature of transcendence, like, would be that it overcomes all around it. I think it has been that way, though. Like, it's even when people look back at the 2006 World Cup, say, it's all now viewed through the lens of Zidane. Now, maybe that's a retrospective thing, but I do feel at the time it was his last tournament, his last game was going to be whatever their knockout game was. People look back famously at the quarterfinal, I think it was, against Brazil, and his performance that day and everything else, and then obviously the final. So I don't know if that's too new a scenario. From my perspective, why I like it is just because it's the biggest stage, obviously, and you just kind of, I always like something about seeing those players who turn up and deliver on that. I think there's something compelling about it because it's kind of been, it's almost like, and for Messi, hugely in the last one, it's like the, it's the embodiment of a life's work, you know? Like, imagine Messi had he won in 2022 or not, like any right-thinking person was never going to be critical of his career. Like, loads of people don't win World Cups, but to do it, it has the possibility to elevate you, I think, beyond a level that most can ever even contemplate reaching. So I think when you see the best players doing that, it's a validation.
You can get that in your OTB Daily podcast feed. Remember, click follow in your feed and you won't miss a single thing. And sticking with the theme of the World Cup, on the green scene this week, Matthew Brennan, Ben Symes and David Wilson were joined by Irish football fan Niall Carraher, who decided to attend the tournament despite Ireland not making it. And he revealed what the ticket prices were and also what the atmosphere was like in general in Mexico.
How much did you pay for your ticket of interest?
400 euro.
400 euro.
Yeah.
It is, like, that is mad, isn't it? Mm. Yeah. Like, it is. I said, you're not mad for doing it. You were going to Guadalajara. You had a book. That's A1. Like,
it's once in a lifetime.
Yeah, 100%. But the fact that that is even, that's loud, what it takes, is wild, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Was there many empty seats at the game?
Around me, there wasn't. But I could see other empty seats. But I know FIFA are saying that, like, there was people at the
concourses and stuff.
Because you could buy your drink up till the 75th minute. And you can bring your drink to the seat as well. So maybe that defeats that argument that they were in the concourse.
Concourse. Why would you stay in the concourse? Yeah. You can just go and watch the game. Yeah,
in your seat. I was watching that one on TV. Stayed up to watch it. And there was portions of the stadium that looked empty for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, look, you give them the benefit of the doubt. And then they came out the next day and said, oh no, it was sold out, and there was people on the concourse. But then I watched the Mexico South Korea game that was in the same stadium, and it was full, and there was not a seat, like, there was not a person out of a seat for the whole 90 minutes. And that kind of upper tier, that Estadio Akron, is like the corporate premium level, looked pure empty for that game against Czechia, the South Korea game, the whole thing.
That's available to listen back to now for full in your OTB football podcast feed for free. France manager Didier Deschamps has left their World Cup camp to return home following the death of his mother. In full agreement with the French Football Federation, he's taken compassionate leave after receiving the news on Tuesday morning, so he won't be there for France's final Group I match against Norway in New Jersey on Friday. Deschamps, a former World Cup winner as a player and manager, has been in charge of the France team for the last 14 years. His long-term assistant Guy Stéphane will be in charge. Leeds have reached an agreement to sign Harry Wilson as a free agent. The Wales international is set to sign a long-term deal at Elland Road. The 29-year-old's contract at Fulham expired this month. Wilson scored 10 goals in the Premier League last season. Martin Dubravka is set to join Tottenham on a free transfer. The 37-year-old is a free agent after leaving Burnley. The former Newcastle and Manchester United goalkeeper will serve as a backup. It looks like Roberto De Zerbi will start with Antonín Kinský as his number one next season. The 23-year-old Czech keeper recovered from that horror show in Madrid back in March in the Champions League to start the last 7 games of last season. Guillermo Vicario is expected to leave and return home to Italy this summer. And Sweden international forward Felicia Schroeder has joined Real Madrid in a deal that makes her the most expensive transfer ever in women's football. The 19-year-old joins from Swedish club Häcken, who say it's a record fee. However, an exact figure is yet to be confirmed by either club. The current record is 1.25 million euro. That's about all we have time for on today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back on more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.